The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Well, hello, everyone. It is Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Oh, I want to thank each and every one of you who made the trek out to the Snowbird Resort in Salt Lake City, Utah for Nerdtacular 2014. It was wonderful meeting each and every one of you. And for those of you that did go and you got to pick up a critical hit sketchbook, I'm glad that you got yours signed by everyone that was there. D&D Brian was there, Rob was there, I was there, Rodrigo was there, Adriana was there, the whole crew was there. And we had a lot of fun meeting you. I hope you enjoy your critical hit bookmark. Tell you what, listeners, I've got a limited number of critical hit bookmarks left over. Maybe about, 50 of them. If you want one, what you need to do is send a SAISY. You know what a SAISY is? A self-addressed stamped envelope. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Major Spoilers, Attention Bookmark, 1309 West 44th, Hayes, H-A-Y-S, Kansas, 67601. You put it to self-addressed stamped envelope, mail that to me. I will put a bookmark in that envelope and mail it back to you. You better hurry, though. Supplies are going to run out, and I can't guarantee how long they will last. And if you send a SAISY and I don't have anything for you, you're going to be out of luck until I get restocked. For those of you that want critical hit sketchbooks, I got so wrapped up this week, I didn't have a chance to call the printer guy. We're going to get everything worked out. We're going to have posters. We're going to have postcards. We're going to have stickers. We're going to have even more t-shirts. We're going to have the critical hit sketchbook. We're going to have critical hit dice bags. These dice bags are wonderful. We sold out of those very quickly. It's all coming very soon, so hold tight, critical hit fans. I also want to take a moment and really say thank you to everyone who's a VIP. I don't think you realize, for those of you that contribute, how much your monthly contribution, a $2, $5, $10 a month contribution is. It is really saving us right now at a time when we need your help more than ever. So I want to personally thank those of you who are VIPs. If you are not a VIP, maybe you might want to consider joining. That's totally up to you. But I do appreciate everyone who does that or who uses the Amazon.com link. You know, next week, D&D Next lands, and you can pre-order that now, or you can wait until the 15th of July to pick it up. But if you do, head over to MajorSpoilers.com and use that Amazon.com link. That will also help us out. A little bit comes back our way and helps us keep moving forward each and every week. Now for some good news, bad news things. What do you want first? Oh, I hear the crowd yell out in response. We want the bad news first, Steven. Okay, the bad news is you're not getting to see what happens to our animal adventurers. I know a lot of you have been waiting. Thank you for being patient. I'm sorry we didn't have an episode last week. It's just the this upload mechanism thing that's supposed to be automated keeps screwing up, and I didn't want to trust it and have you all disappointed. But I also don't want to wait a week to get this episode out, because then the news is going to be really, really dated and really, really old. So as I mentioned a little bit ago, all of us went to the Snowbird Resort to attend Nerdtacular 2014, and we had our own panel, a Major Spoilers / Critical Hit panel, and we recorded that, and we're going to present that to you right now. There's some Major Spoilers news in there. There then becomes a lot of critical hit Q&A. So you can kind of think of this as a live mailbag. We do try to repeat the questions. We didn't have a roving microphone to get up and get everybody's questions, but we do try to repeat that. But I wanted to get that out now because there's some good information in there for you. I want to thank Todd over at Alpha Geek Radio for providing all of the recording equipment for Nerdtacular 2014, and who he and his team actually recorded this episode. So I want to say thank you to him. He did a great job. And if you want to hear some great streaming audio from the Frog Pants Network, head over to Alpha Geek Radio. They have a 24-hour stream. There are many major spoiler shows there. If you want to hear streaming stuff, go in and out. And I think Todd will be helping us do some of our other shows that we do in the future, especially our finally Friday show, our live Friday afternoon stream that I hope you will consider participating in next week. But I promise you next week we will find out what happens to those animal adventurers as we get back into Critical Hit. Somebody mentioned and pointed out the other day on Twitter that we had 50 episodes released in the last year. 50 episodes. Holy cow, that's a lot. And I just, you know, for those of you that have listened to other shows, other podcasts that I've been on, you know that I just constantly get grouchy and grumpy when a TV season is 6 episodes long or 12 episodes long. We're still in the Lords of the Feywild season, and it's been going on for a couple of years now, and we've been delivering, I hope you can understand that we try to deliver consistently week after week. But there are some weeks where things get out of the way and beyond our control. Last week was one of those because we were all out of town and technology wasn't very trusting. But I'm glad you stuck around, and I hope you enjoy all of us talking at Nerdtacular. And without further ado, here you go. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to this Major Spoilers Critical Hit panel. We are, so a lot of people were like, oh, you guys are going to play a game of Critical Hit? No, we don't have that much time. And then people were like, are you guys going to record a Major Spoilers podcast episode? It's like, well, no, because we have a bunch of Critical Hit people on here. So what I thought we would do is I'd just start off and talk to you a little bit about what's going on with Major Spoilers over the last year since we've been here, and then get each of these guys to talk a little bit about what they've been doing since they started at Major Spoilers and how long that they've been with Major Spoilers, and then open it up to Q&A for you guys to ask us questions, because really the thing that we like the most is when we interact with you. And of course, if you listen to Critical Hit, you know that we love doing mailbag episodes. Mm-hmm. This may end up as a mailbag episode, just giving you a little heads up. But we love doing that part, and we love interacting with you. So thank you all for being here. So just a real quick show of hands, how many of you are Major Spoilers VIP members? Thank you, guys.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you,
so
everybody.
So today, July 4th, does anybody know what today is?
I know.
Besides July 4th?
I know.
Independence Day?
I totally know.
Independence Day.
Pick me.
The great NATO answers the first question correctly. Major Spoilers is 8 years old today. So yeah, we are very happy to have been able to provide you with entertainment in all sorts of forms, whether it be web, whether it be audio, whether it be web comics, whatever, for the last 8 years. So last year, the announcement that I made at Nerdtacular was that Major Spoilers had moved from sole proprietorship to a LLC, so as a full company with all of the headaches that come with full companies. So the thing that some of you who listen to the morning stream have heard, but I've not really talked publicly about since... I don't think I've ever talked about publicly. I quit my job.
You did.
I quit my job.
And yes. You know what? Come on, hit me.
Right here. Boom.
Yay, job quitting.
I quit full-time employment and started working for Major Spoilers full-time in May, so it's been a little over a month and a half. But it was a decision that was great for me, and I think it'll be great for Major Spoilers and great for you in return. So it's an exciting time. So that's my big announcement this year is I'm unemployed. self-employed. That's the phrase.
Self-employed.
Yeah. Self-employed. Yes. So it's been a fun 8 years, and I'm really glad to be here and sharing it with you guys on our birthday. So Matthew has been here besides me. He's the second longest person that's been at Major Spoilers. So Matthew, what are your thoughts on Major Spoilers at year 8?
Our website's a fourth grader.
Well, it acts like a two-year-old.
It does, actually. And by the website acting like a two-year-old, I mean Rob. That, by the way, is my one obligatory jab at Rob. We're besties. We're best friends. We're going to go skating later.
That's why they're sitting next to each other.
That's right.
Yes.
But Major spoiler. For me, the major spoilers experience kind of started. It was a warm, blustery day in the fall of 1989, and a gentleman walked up to me, and he had really tall hair, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Steven." And so for years and years, Steven and I had kind of orbited each other, and one day he showed up where I worked, which, by the way, a little creepy.
Well, so for those that don't know, I don't have a comic book shop. At the time, did not have a comic book shop in the city where I was living in Hayes, Kansas. And so I had remembered that I did go to a comic book shop in Topeka for years when I was going to college and when I was growing up in high school. And it just happened to be the same place that Matthew had been working in. And I had literally, from the time that I decided to launch Major Spoiler, said, I want Matthew. This is the guy that I remember from college, you know, trying to lure me up to his dorm room to show me comics.
Which, in air quotes. I will admit, equally creepy as the stalking.
And I was like, I've got to find this guy. And I did high and low searches. I mean, short of hiring a private detective.
Which is odd because I am visible from satellite view.
And one day I just walked into the comic book shop because I had a pull list that was about a month old that I needed to pick up. And lo and behold, there was Matthew.
Yep.
And I said, dude, we need to talk, and I need you to come and work and write. So we've been doing that for 8 years.
There was a time where it was just you and me in the wilderness shouting at the walls.
Yep. So romantic.
And then came Rodrigo.
Hey, guys. It's all right. This is like all origin stories?
Yes, all origin stories.
All right, so there was a much more popular character named... Brian Dennett, a.k.a. Scroll Brian, who knew these guys from back in college. So I was working with him. He was working at PBS with me, and we had a terrible boss. And that boss was like, hey, I know, we'll do something with the university that Stephen was working at. So Stephen, being the head of the basically the TV and video department, he was in charge of, he was like kind of our liaison for the show. And very quickly, we realized that the easiest way to repel our terrible boss was to sit there and talk about comics. Because that's not something that he cared about at all. So he would just get bored and go away. Yeah. So that's kind of how I started talking to Steven about comics, and then eventually we started recording the podcast. So I came into Major Spoilers through the Major Spoilers podcast, and we actually started recording that podcast. We would finish the show that we were doing and just move to another room, and then Steven, Brian, and I would record that podcast. And then I guess as time has passed... Mostly, Steven will say, hey, we should do this. And I'm like, all right. So that's kind of how Critical Hit started.
Well, it started because Rodrigo kept talking about Dungeons & Dragons. The 4th edition had just come out.
Right.
And I was just like, what is this? Let's talk more about it. I didn't get to play Dungeons & Dragons in when I was younger. So my only really kind of through for this was with Rodrigo. And I was like, can we play a game? He's like, yeah, sure. Can we?
Will we go to hell?
No, it was great.
And we put it up for our fourth anniversary, I think.
Yeah, it was. We use Major Spoilers anniversaries as kind of like this big test bed of new stuff, and I think Critical Hit was one of the first ones. We just kind of like Steven got really excited about D&D, and he went out and made a character all by himself. And those of you who have made a D&D character know that that's fairly complicated. And he sat down and he read the rules and he did it all himself. And then I was like, well, crap, I guess I'm running a D&D game.
Well, and then we did the first 8 episodes, everything up until, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a big success. And I said, well, can we continue this? And Rodrigo's response was, yes, but we can't do it with just you and Matthew and me as DM. We need some other people as well. Enter Robin Bryan.
Yes. Who, by the way, are one person.
You can refer to
they
him as
Robin. They are the Robin Bryan.
So who came in first? Was it
Brian.
Brian?
Yes.
So what was your reaction to this? Because here's something many of you may not know. I actually taught Brian in a class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Just one semester, one class.
One semester, one class, and I don't.
But he does. That's why it was only once.
You passed me. That's all that matters.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, basically, this was mentioned. I believe like your first sessions have already been aired, and I've been listening to Major Spoilers for a while, which I actually had to hear from your class rather than Rodrigo ever mentioning it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But he's not bitter.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is, you know, Rob and Brian knew Rodrigo through a gaming group that they did at the university as well. So fun times since?
Yes, it's been fun.
And then Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi. Originally, I wasn't supposed to be on the podcast. Rodrigo had asked someone else, Alex over there.
Hi, Alex.
But then he was given an offer to go with his family to Europe on a whim. And I was the lucky enough person to be the second choice.
I will never forgive you.
So I don't know if Rodrigo asked me about it or I asked him what they were doing or whatnot, but then I got invited and was told, all right, you have these two choices. Make one. And that's what Smith came from.
Do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then years went by, and then, I'm sorry, I'm cloudy because I don't know who came next. Pretty close to one another.
That's cool.
We were doing Major Spoilers podcast, and some of you may remember a few years ago, we were doing Munchkin. We were playing Munchkin at the hotel down in Sandy. Some of you sat down and played with us. Some of you remember that. I actually remember some of you that I played with as well. And we came back, and I was like, you know what? It might be kind of fun to just try to record a Munchkin podcast. People sitting around playing a card game. How interesting
I wasn't invited.
And I said, we needed a fourth. And Rob
because
was in, and Zach was also one of my students. Started to see a pattern here. and I said, Zach had started writing for Major Spoilers, and I was like, Zach, why don't you come in and sit down and record some episodes with us? And he was, yes, sir, Mr. Schlager. What do you remember about that?
It was. I got. I'm just going to take this. Oh, I'm right here. I actually got that email, and I was driving to work, and he said, "Hey, you want to go record a podcast?" I'm like, "Oh yeah!" I almost ran off the road. It was fun, and I kind of tricked you because the way I kind of sold it, I had actually played Munchkin a bunch.
Oh yeah, that's
but,
right.
But I'd only played like one time before we started recording, and that kind of came out in the first episode.
Always embellished on your resume.
Yeah, no, and it's shown ever since. I've never played the game.
Oh yeah. But when did you start writing? Do you remember?
I started writing after the blogging and podcasting class you did in Fort Hays. And so I started writing then, and then so then I did Munchkin, and then I got to sit in on Major Spoilers, and I just kept on coming over every week.
Actually, he just kept showing up.
Yeah, just kept on showing
I
up.
I didn't invite him. He just
I just showed up. Absolutely. And then we did that for a while, and then Zach on Film happened, and I've just been writing a lot since, I guess. And Steven just tells me to not stop.
There you go. And then, of course, we get into a new season of Critical Hit, and Rodrigo wants to make some changes. And we get introduced to a brand new character called Trell, played by Adriana, who we had known before from her appearances on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Yeah, that's
me. I was like a total fan.
What was the show you were doing when we first met you?
Super Future Friends.
Which was right up our alley, if anybody knows that. It's about the Legion of Superheroes, which Matthew and I can talk for hours about.
Yes.
We
Bouncing
won't do that
Boy
today.
Is one
and
of
they
the greatest
do.
Figures in American literature, by the way.
So I was doing a podcast with my friend and co-creator about the Super Future Friends, about the Legion of Superheroes. And I was already a fan of Major Spoilers.
We were a fan of you too.
And you guys reached out to me and asked if I wanted to come on the show and talk about Legion of Superheroes. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk to you guys about Legion of Superheroes. I came on and I was like, hey, where's Rodrigo? He's not here. And I was like, oh. I was like, all right, I'll still do the show. So
thank you.
And you're welcome. And so then I think we came on another time too.
Yeah, I think you guys were on two or three times.
Yeah.
I think it was three. Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think I had done some fan art of Critical Hit a couple times, and Rodrigo was familiar with. I do a web comic called Minor Acts of Heroism, which we're selling out. Hard copies of out in the lobby. Also, Critical Hit sketchbooks out in the lobby.
Yes, get those sketchbooks.
Yes, plug. Anyways, I was working on a comic, and Rodrigo was familiar with my writing and stuff at the time. I was in the first issue of Minor Acts of Heroism, I think, at the time. And He's like, do you want to come be on our show? And I was like, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons before. I'm scared. No. Also, my company had just, like, downsized. The market had just crashed. And I was scared. And I was like, I don't know. So I was like, no, I can't. No, I can't. I'm like, shy, and I curse a lot. And I'm only on a show with, like, my best friend. And I'm really shy. And I've never done anything, like verbal role play before. I don't know. And so... But then I was like, oh, I wish I knew more about Dungeons & Dragons so I could actually... Like, I listened to the show, but it's different.
Oh, listen, not only listen to the show, but would send notes about everything that, I mean, has an archive probably, what, 30 binders thick of
it's very
everything
big.
That's happened.
Yes, it's what I call the I said what file.
So I basically trained for like a year.
Yep, you're the best.
I literally trained for a year. I went and had like some experiences, like kind of just put it out there, like, hey, does anyone in Seattle want to teach me about Dungeons and Dragons? Got like some creepy guy. This is a bad idea. But eventually, so I like gave up on looking for something. And then my friend was like, hey, I've got some friends, and they play Dungeons & Dragons, and I know, like, you've seen that one show. Do you want to join? They invited me, and I was wondering if you could come with me. Then we'll both be, like, new at this and not know anything. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And so I played, and I trained. And then Rodrigo, I don't know, I think I sent you an email or something.
Well, the season ended.
Yeah, the season. Oh, the
so
season.
I actually invited Adriana at the beginning when we were getting ready to start Celestial Crusade. Mm-hmm. So there's some alternate reality where, like, Adriana creates a character for Celestial Crusade. So go find that. But then Celestial Crusade ended, we were getting ready to start Lords of the Feywild, and I sent her another email. You know, on my end, I understood why she had turned it down, but I was like, well, got to give it another shot. So I sent her a new email, and I was like, hey, what do I have to do to get you on my Dungeons & Dragons podcast?
I was like, yes. It's like I didn't ask a yes or no question, but okay. So I said yes, and then I started sending him, like, novels. I'm like, okay, what if elves are like this or like this? And I don't know, I pitched it.
Which was great, because I kind of hate elves. So I was like, oh, good, someone else is writing the elves in this world. That's going to be a lot easier for me.
Yeah, I was like, I could do this or this or this. But really, I want to play an elf. I think I like pitched like a cog person or something. Mm-hmm. And I think he was really obviously like please play a cog person. I'd be so into that. And I was like, I kind of just said that so that he would think I was cool and creative. But I'm like, no, I want to play an elf. I want to play an elf. I think it would be really cool if I was an elf. And then I joined the show, and it was so cool.
Well, another, you know, somebody posted on Twitter just a moment ago, origin stories, a secret origin story. Matthew's wife and my wife were originally supposed to take the Robin Bryan's spots. But Matthew's wife was really busy at the time, and my wife was like, nerds.
And every time we have a 6 or 8 hour recording session, which is a little less common, but not what I would call uncommon, the next morning she will come out and my wife will look at me and go, so glad this didn't work out.
Yeah. She had another alternate timeline, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so over the last, in the last year, again, thanks to a lot of our VIPs that are here today, we've been able to do some other things. We've launched, we've done Top 5 podcasts. We've done Munchkin Land. We've got Zach on film. And then just in the last couple of weeks, we started the live streaming show Finally Friday, which I know some of you have watched as well. So we're constantly moving forward with everything we're doing. So Finally Friday probably is considered that 8th year show that we're launching. So, all right. Well, that's a little bit about what's been going on at Major Spoilers. Now it's time for you guys to answer questions.
Wait, I thought it was karaoke.
No. Don't all your hands shoot up
at once. I was told there was karaoke.
God, that's how we got you here.
I know who's got a question. Bruce Otter has a question.
Otter, what do you
Otter
got,
Disaster.
Brother?
Some of you may know Bruce.
He's not here.
He used to do the
Major Spoilers Adventures
strip for us.
Or as we like to call it, the only time I've ever been really handsome.
I'm sure.
Bruce, yeah, no, yellow suits you.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sure Bruce has a question for us. You know what?
Right, well, wait, some right. plant you
I'm
are.
Sure, I'm sure it's some question about...
I have a question from Bruce, and I'm going to do it in my Bruce voice.
All right.
So, hey, guys. Hey, it's Otter Disaster. I was wondering, can I be on the show? No. Thank you.
We do get that a question a lot, Rodrigo, about can I be on your Dungeons & Dragons podcast? Can I be on your Munchkin Land or Top 5 podcast?
Right, and the answer is no. You guys can't. not because we don't love you, but because the people that have ended up on the shows, it's because we already know them beforehand. We know that they can commit to it. We know that they're reliable, and we know that they'll be able to do all this stuff. And like, other than like me moving into your house for like. A couple months and like really like figuring out, because I basically was living with Rob and Brian there for a while. First off, like the right now the party's full, so that's one. And two, we like basically I went through and picked people that I already knew were going to be great at this. Not that you guys wouldn't be great at this,
right?
But also, you know, you get into a thing. It was like, well, you can be on the show,
right?
And it's like, well, why don't I get to be on the show?
Yeah.
And you cannot underestimate. And I say this as a person who remotes into all the shows that we do. You cannot underestimate how much and how difficult it would be, because it, you know, I'm sure when you listen to the show, it's like these guys are great and they have a great rapport. During many of these shows, I will be sitting in my living room going, my mic is not on. I'm 22 minutes behind, and I wanted to say something awesome, and Steven's already moved on to the next topic. It's very frustrating to remote in, so unless you want to live in Steven's basement, it would be very difficult to be
a very comfy.
It's a nice basement.
Yeah, Brian does, in fact, live in the garage.
We could fit like a quarter of you.
Yeah, it's a very spacious, has lots of toys in it. Anyways, move into Steven's basement.
Oh, let's have a question right here.
So you've already stated that you won't be
So the question is about 5th edition. We've stated that we're not interested in moving, at this point, Critical Hit to 5th edition. I think we answered that on a more recent mailbag episode. But have we had a look at the core rule books and everything?
Well, and would we consider doing a one-off show? That would be up to, like, basically one of us to take the initiative to do it. I'm not gonna do it because I'm running a full on game right now. So
if it's easy to do, I could do it. Yeah. There's no fighting, and it's a dating game.
You know that.
That's not how D&D works.
That's how
I showed
it works.
Your boy X boy, right?
This new version of D&D is great. You just hang out, and it's in a high school setting, and everyone is best friends. Go to the mall.
If I can play Tuxedo Mask, we're sold.
Zach,
I'm in.
Zach.
We'll do a magical girl show, and it will be awesome.
good question. Yes, right here.
I have two, actually.
Okay.
Bruce is here.
Will Major Spoilers Adventures ever come back?
Bruce.
We've had this conversation many, many, many times.
Thank you, Mrs.
Bruce,
Otter.
It seems like Bruce has a life.
Bruce, come up here real quick.
Spouse Agro says no.
Come up here, Bruce. So for those of you who don't know, Bruce and I and Matthew all went to school together.
Correct.
Dun, dun, dun.
So why? What's going on with the bit strips?
It's a complicated question. I used to use the much maligned now bit strips web comic creation tools to make Major Spoilers Adventures, which made it really fast and really easy. And their tools suck now because they've moved everything over to mobile, and their site was down for about 5 months, and when it came back up, it doesn't really work the way it used to, and it's next to impossible to even edit some of the strips I had. right. in progress. So I'm trying to figure out a way to maybe kind of maintain that old look and do some new stuff, and I haven't really come around to a solution that I really like yet. So if I can put something together that I think works and I can do it in the same amount of time with the same amount of quality, then I will bring it back.
Yeah.
Shrinky Dinks.
Shrinky Dinks, yeah, yes.
What were those things with the stickers?
Thank you, Bruce. Bruce does have another comic that he does do. Was it every Monday?
Every Monday,
BrainTeaserComics.com.
Do you have your books with you?
He does.
Ask Bruce for a copy. Do not ask for the super rare red spine variant. I have one of those, $35.
Second question.
That's a joke.
Second question, since you left Kansas,
oh, actually, young Zach
That's
is
a good question.
Zach was very good on the trip out. He just stayed in the back and kept quiet.
He slept a lot.
Of course, he was back behind the spare tire.
Zach is the least is the person that's
we had him in his booth.
That's the most useful.
Yeah, and actually,
the least likely to be fired.
Zach,
you might want to ask
fired
about
like
these guys.
Two to three
actually.
Times a week, though.
Especially at Nerdtacular, Zach is on top of things. Yeah. Like we are like turning around and we're like, you know what? I wish that I had, and then like Zach just like puts whatever I wanted in my hand.
So how dare you, sir?
Yeah.
I would like to take a moment to officially thank young Zach for being my legs all weekend, because my right knee is entirely out, and I'm like, Zach, would you possibly go over there and sort of just hand me that piano?
It helped because I didn't request my own music being played for 13 hours up here. I just kind of let Steven take control. We listened to 70s on 7.
70s on 7.
And honestly, I knew a lot of the songs, and so we had a nice karaoke sing-along for the whole ride.
It
was pretty nice.
I miss you all the time.
You always miss
you
a long time.
Fly to Kansas so you can drive.
Okay.
There was an hour in my car where we got to listen to Eddie Izzard, so
yes.
Welcome, Rob.
Zach will be moderating the cosplay panel with Bill and Brittany Duran tomorrow, so go check that out. I think, unfortunately, it's at the same time that Matthew and I are doing the comic book grading panel and collecting panel, so there's a little conflict of interest,
so,
I know, for at least one of you. Another question.
We're not going to say you should.
Yes, back here.
Actually, it's another story. How much of the
How much of Critical Hit is scripted?
None.
As far
zero.
As we do, zero. Rodrigo,
nothing.
Do you script anything?
Well, I have what like the NPCs' opinions of your stupid faces are kind of memorized.
I see.
But other than that, no. I just just kind of generate situations and see how the party reacts. Because if at no point could I really go like, well, no, you guys are supposed to do this.
Does it sound scripted? I think we sound like
I think the question is more about the.
It sounds almost too real.
Uh-huh. That's why it sounds real. It's that it's not scripted.
Yeah.
Here is I think kind of at the core of it. A lot of times when people talk about contention, Critical Hit, what it comes down to is why do Matthew and Rob hate each other?
No, I think he's talking about the characters now.
Oh well, the characters do hate each other.
Rob,
that's true.
One also like some of the situations we trial and like,
everyone.
Doing
yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that's not scripted.
It's all impromptu acting, if a situation comes up and
thanks, Rob.
Let's go back to the scene early in Lords of the Feywild, where Worm realizes that all of the Eladrin are gone, and he is upset because it means he doesn't see his family anymore.
Right.
And Tor comes in. Everybody knows this scene. Dust in my eye. That's all just things that happen in the moment. And between Matthew and I just communicating, we can have that conversation and make it seem very real. Even like the very uncomfortable Orm goes on a date episode.
Yes, which is very uncomfortable. And there are times where, as Tork, I am frustrated as Tork. And it's one of those hard things to describe.
But aren't you also frustrated as a Matthew because you have to...
Part of it is that I am trying to shove the contents of a U-Haul trailer into the back of a Volkswagen bus when I speak as Tork. But there are times where you're in character, and there are times where I will say Tork did, and there are other times when I said, well, I said this, and it was really funny. But there are times where you'll be in character, you're as Tork and you're having a discussion, or I think this is probably true for the others as well, where you're frustrated because of a situation. And there are times you don't necessarily lose yourself, but you'll have frustration in character. For me, that never carries over to the person. I've never said, I'm really mad at Rut. That's not true. I have never said specifically because of something that happened in the game that I'm really mad at Rodrigo. And, you know, when I poke at Rob, we've said this before, Rob and I are, we occupy the same niche in our basic ecology. So we do needle each other.
Intentionally?
Probably.
Usually.
And sometimes we will egg each other on and be like, you suck more. But I have never once been mad at Rob for any real length of time for anything that's like...
Look at that mystified look Rob gets every time you're like, no, this is all pretend. Rob's like, what is he talking about?
I grew up with three sisters, and being on Critical Hit is a lot like being surrounded by... What? How is that funny? This is my pouring out my heart. You, like, but it's kind of the same thing in that you get mad at your sister, and I'm like, my sister's a jerk face, and Dina sucks. By the way, my sister's named Dina. But if someone were to come in and go, yeah, she does, I'm like, shut up, that's my sister.
Well, but at the same time, and this is something that I think everyone needs to realize, is that when Ket and Trell have an argument, or when Ket and Orym have an argument, it's an argument between those characters. It's not an argument between Steven and Rob. It's not an argument between Adriana and Rob.
I like
it's an argument between the characters.
All the arguments used as an example were mine.
All the arguments.
Yeah, think about that.
It is Ket.
So there's a couple of things here that are important to think about. One of them is, I try super extra hard to get these guys as immersed into the story as possible, to the point where, you know, not just through description and through, you know, throwing things at them, but sometimes literally I will just yell at them if they're not in character. So I try to get them there. And if you've played a role-playing game that asks this of you, you will feel your character's emotions a lot of the time. And that's something that I try to have. That's something that, you know, I withhold a lot of information from these guys so that they can be surprised along with their characters when they see this
how
happen.
How many people are caught up with the most recent episode? Okay, so some of you are behind, and so you know that there are some new characters that appeared in the most recent episodes. And a lot of people were like, well, why are you being so secretive as to who your characters are and what they are? Because in the email that we got from Rodrigo, it says, you do not discuss any aspect of your character with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nobody else from the game can know about who you're playing or what you're playing.
Yep.
You're all going to meet.
It was all a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So that first meeting is the first time that Steven knew what Rob's character was going to be, or that Adriana knew what Matthew's character was going to be. Nobody knew what was happening, except I had sent them their own characters ahead of time.
Yeah, I thought they were all going to be like me.
Yeah. And I think a lot of them did.
Yeah.
And that's actually the first time that that's happened. And what I mean by that, the first time that I sent them characters ahead of time. All of the previous How the Other Half Live type episodes, they showed up and there was a completely unfamiliar character sheet in front of them.
Hey, you're
with like a couple role-playing notes.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, make this character happen.
That would have been
and
too hard.
Happen in real time. So.
Well, and that's why I did it this time. That's why I sent it ahead of time, is because now the characters are level 14. So they have, you know, back when the first time we did it and the characters were level 6, they only had 4 powers to keep track of. Now they have 17 powers to keep track of, or if you're a monk, 78.
Yeah.
Why?
Second part of your question?
Yeah, with Adriana joining the group, has there ever been any talk about an actual Critical Hit comic book? Like,
many, many times.
Many, many talks.
Too bad. I got my. I'm sorry. I have like my own comic book to work on, and
plus it would be really hard because of the way Critical Hit is made. Rodrigo creates seriously the most gorgeous, lush universe full of versatility.
Yeah, I'm not drawing that.
But I want you to know that I truly love everybody up here, but I do not trust people to put words in Tork's mouth. So if anyone were trying to write a comic, and they're like, we want Tork to be in it. I'm like, great. So am I co-writer, or are you just going to put me right on the cover?
Right.
You know, and I think to some degree everybody's going to have that thing where we are all going to want to make sure that the character is true to whatever our vision might be. So it'd be really difficult for whoever wrote that book, probably Rodrigo, because...
Art-wise, it would just be too hard. Like, it would be a monumental task, and you would have to pay someone in, like, firstborn children.
Yeah, we're not saying that we'll never do it.
Not at all.
We're saying that just because we have a hugely talented artist in the team now...
Thank you.
...doesn't automatically mean... Doesn't automatically mean that she's just going to do it. You know,
I don't get more hours in my day.
I mean, seriously, the work that she puts into the sketches that you have on the VIP site or that are in the sketchbook are, you know, hours upon hours upon hours of work that she's doing, and it's fantastic work. And to say, hey, we need you to do that on a monthly basis, and, oh, we need 32 pages, and each page has to have six panels each, you know, go. Is not going to happen. Plus, I'm a little bit of a more of a quality control freak, and so we've been approached by artists and by writers and game developers, not Blizzard, by the way, to develop a you know, critically hit games or whatever. And all the time, it's just been no. We're not really at a place where we're ready to move forward with that. It's not saying we're not going to do it someday, but it's something that we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and all aligned in that
way. I would feel terrible because if Adriana did, you know, gorgeous page, this wonderful page, and she hands it to me, and I'm like, this is beautiful. Can you change these things over here? And, you know, it would be one of those moments where I'd feel terrible for about a day and a half.
Back here in the beard?
Back here in the beard. Matthew, you actually changed your voice for your characters. I was just wondering if the rest of you have changed your voices for any of your characters.
Orem actually started out a little bit more refined, and has not since he's been in with another group of people.
He's been slobs.
We done corrupted him.
Maybe there's some corruption there. The most recent character that we played in the most recent couple of episodes is a little bit different for voices. That time I did the gaming workshop where I had to do a million voices.
Yeah.
Rob? Let's see. You heard me try to change Glaw's voice in the second or third appearance of Glaw. That didn't go so well.
Brian? I'm not really good at voices too much. It's something I just generally avoid. I try to just make minor changes, like mannerisms and stuff, more readily be the character traits.
And I am and always have been a huge voice nerd, if you ask me. You know, who are your top five heroes? Frank Welker, voice god, is going to be on that list. The Torque voice isn't actually a voice. If you listen right now, I feel like I'm a little hoarse and a little deeper. Torque voice is more of a dialect. It's about half my mother's third husband and half this guy I used to know in college, who probably drank a little too much. But then you get in that voice. And I listened to early episodes, and I'm like, no, I should. Because Rodrigo told me, stop doing it. Don't do that. You don't want to go back and try and, you know, think about it. I slip into the Torque voice when I'm talking. Yesterday I was talking. I think I was talking with you, Rachel. And I was sitting, and she was saying something, and I'm like, yeah. And then like, she said, you did the voice!
Adriana, what about you?
Me?
You like voices? Do you want to try voices? Do voices?
You can be French.
In like the other... Wait, you're talking to me or Rodrigo?
Yeah, you.
Okay. We look so similar.
I can't tell us apart.
Yeah. Twins. So in the other game that I ran, I did like a couple like weird voices for certain people. It's better for like NPCs because you're not like
you don't have to be
you're
not constant.
It's constant. Like Matthew is very dedicated and powerful. It's very brave.
Part of it is that's how I turn on my Torque brain. But are there any wrestling fans in the room? Anybody? Okay, wrestling fans will know what I'm talking about. There's a gentleman who wrestles, and his name is Kofi Kingston, and his original gimmick was he's from Jamaica, man. And about a year, he did this Jamaican accent that was halfway between passable and dear Lord, shut up. And one day, he just stopped, and one of the other wrestlers went, aren't you Jamaican? And he's like, no, I'm good. And they a lot of times that is what happens if you put together something that's too much. You're trying too hard with the voice. The torque voice is really, really easy. You just kind of like, and you did. And that's how I talk when I talk like that. If you notice, I have a pretty overbite, and you do like that, and you do the torque voice.
So there's another thing that's important, which is that, for example, the way that Matthew does torque is very pronounced. It's very different from the way that he normally talks. Yeah. But actually, all of these guys change their voices when they're in character.
Yes.
And that's something that's not as easy to tell, especially if you don't know them normally, because actually, when you're listening to the show, most of the time when you hear them, they're in character. So you're like, oh, that guy just sounds like a regular guy.
With Mantis, she's going to be talking more, like it was all fighting to start out with, but I think you'll notice like there's a difference there, just like more,
yeah, there is definitely
more,
yeah,
sharp, mm-hmm, more tight.
So what's the deal with Stagsy?
What isn't the deal with Stagsy?
Stagsy's got a lot going on in his life. Like, what's the deal with like Stagsy's voice?
Yeah, with his accent, with his voice. Yeah,
it's great.
That was a many, many emails have arrived.
Yeah,
about Stagsy.
What is that accent? Is that
there's a lot of Canadian? There's a lot of magnificent back and forth going on with Stagsy because the way that I started doing the character is it's based on an accent that's kind of a Spanish accent basically, but I actually
Spain Spanish
but I actually tweaked it because so it's not exactly a Spanish accent. That accent doesn't actually exist. I kind of partially made it up based on something else.
Made it copyrightable too.
Yeah, and the main reason why I did that is because I realized that there was a Z in his name, and if I didn't change it, then he would just introduce himself as Stagthy, and no one, and that's what people would call him because he just has a weird accent. That's just how people would pronounce it. He also appears to be the only person in the universe who has this accent, at least so far. So there's no frame of reference, right? Now, the really fantastic thing is that you, our lovely fans, had an incredibly hard time placing the accent. So we would get like we would get emails like after Stagsy debuted and he was around. He's like, oh man,
I think it's a Tibetan monk raised in Texas.
It's a French Canadian who went to school in Texas but was taught English by a man who learned English from a Japanese person.
Right. Why is Stagsy Russian?
Yeah, why is Stagsy Russian? It's like, I love Stagsy. He's such a wild and crazy guy. It's like, I love how Stagsy is Sean Connery. That was one of my favorites.
That's not even close.
I just assumed that this person was referring to like the Spanish dub of Highlander.
Actually, hasn't Sean Connery played a Spaniard?
Yeah,
he still did Sean Connery. Yeah,
it's like in a terrible roundabout nonsense way. It's almost right.
I guess
he was
so. Yes,
Spaniard from Egypt.
Right.
Voice.
Perfect.
Right. Who still had a weird Scottish accent.
Yeah. Stagsy sounds like a Scottish Egyptian Spaniard.
That's right. There you go. All right, who's got another question? Right here.
Hello.
We've heard a whole lot of Trail's backstory. There's a whole ton of it back there, and there's obviously a whole lot that we haven't seen yet. I'm not going to ask about it because that's part of the final list of the critical hits.
You got it.
What I would like to know is, was it written by Adriana? Or did you guys actually play a little bit off-camera to run some of this stuff and find out how things go?
Trell's first meeting with the Baltanok was played off-camera, which was good. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Like I had like in my ideas, like she's gonna be like this and this, and I get on camera and I start doing it. And I'm like, oh, she's like this. This is great. And first I sent him. He asked me like, okay, here's like a vague idea for like what she could have been doing while they were doing their stuff.
Trell was going to debut at Paragon level, right? So there's three tiers in Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition.
Yeah, good point.
Heroic, Paragon, and Epic. So it made sense that somebody who is in Paragon tier had actually been having similarly ridiculous adventures to the Torkeltones. So that's basically what I said. It's like, when you think about this character and when you're making this character, she's already some kind of dimensional trotting hero, probably. So that kind of kickstarted it all. And then basically we just started sending notes back and forth, kind of generating kind of an outline of what her adventures had been in the past.
I think you said, like, okay, they did something. I think you said, like, magical hat was, like, your prompt.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And you said, give me bullet points of, like what order, like, a timeline of what they did. I sent him, like, a several-page novel. and then he sent me back, like, you know, corrections and suggestions and stuff like that. And they were all really great suggestions. And then I think from then on, I would just, like, send him stuff like, okay, like, and I think, like, when this happened, this is how it went. And I think when this happened, this is how it went. And I just sent him, like, emails in the middle of the night going, like, just huge emails. And he is so
hugely
nice
entertaining.
About it.
I mean,
aww.
Yeah, Adrian is a really, really good writer. And he's got really good ideas. And I would just tweak a few things here and there to make it consistent with the world of Critical Hit, because
it's fun.
Yeah.
I like world building, and he likes world building. So, like, I was really eager to go, like, if you read my other comic, like, there's, like, another world, and my favorite part is, like, the world building and stuff, so I was, like, really eager. It's like, okay, this is what their language is like. Right.
So partially, the reason why Charles' backstory seems so fleshed out is because it is, because we've actually spent a lot of time talking about it and writing about it, and in the process, it's helped me to flesh out other parts of the world, because basically while the Torkeltones were going like this, Troll was actually going like this, like in the opposite kind of dimensional areas of the world. So it gave me a lot of prompts to flesh those out.
Yeah, I would literally ask you questions like, oh, so what is this place like, so I can have an idea? And then he would send me a giant thing, and then not until like months and months later would I realize, like, he had written that because I had asked that question.
Right. And it was
but
great.
It's masterful work, too.
Oh, thank you. It's great to have that prompt, too. It's like when a lot of the times I'm like, well, I should flesh out what the elemental chaos is like. And I was like, start writing, write a few notes. But like, it really takes like a player being like, hey, so my character's from this city, what's that region like? And I'm like, so the region's kind of like this. And they're like, oh, can I have this, and this? And then pretty soon we have a lot of text written for it. Mm-hmm. That back and forth is a lot more exciting, and kind of why we're doing a role-playing game podcast and not why we're doing a radio drama.
Yeah. Right.
Another question. Let's right behind, right here. Yes.
How much of the story have you written?
Question is, how far out do you plan?
Basically, the way that I plan my stories, and I haven't always answered it this way because I've been doing it forever, but I've never really thought about the way that I do it, like putting a name to it. But basically, the way that I come up with, I call them like plot nodes, basically important things that might happen that might involve the players. So I come up with a bunch of them.
Yeah, and the key word, though, is might.
Might.
Right.
Because there are things that have never been used,
right,
things that the players have done that have caused us to move all the way around certain things.
So if you imagine just like the sea of like little floating blue dots, the players are like in the nearest one. And then they will decide kind of which one of those, or through their actions, even if it's not obvious that they're making that decision, their actions will invalidate a bunch of them. So then they'll just move to the next one, and then all of the ones that were kind of in the same line as that, they just fall away. They just never get used. Some of them I can like move to another area and use again. So in a lot of ways, there is stuff at epic tier that I've thought about, but you might never see it. Because the decisions that these guys make are going to influence whether that happens or not.
Mm-hmm. Let's go question right here. Then we'll come back to you and then you.
So, is Lesbian Crusade you had everyone play these alternate characters? And did you do that? I was kind of wondering if you did that
It was to mess with us.
Yeah.
Well, and also, there's a lot of times where I'm like, man, I sure would like to see what a monk class is like. Yeah.
Right.
And there's love plus hate.
Right. It's really the yin and yang of Critical Hit is I hate these guys, and I love these guys. I guess...
Listen, he said hate first.
Put that on a t-shirt.
It is. And make sure you put, like, 5 ellipses before the love part.
You can't do the common
sense. So the decision process for that is we had done what I felt was a successful experiment on that in the very first season, and that was partially to show the audience mostly, but also the players, that the world kind of goes on without them, right? I mean, they're off doing other stuff, but there are other heroes doing things. There are people that are concerned about the stuff that's going on. There are, like, monsters are not just attacking them.
You're not special. We can replace you at any time.
Anytime.
Matthew.
Right. This is start getting a feel for these characters because your character's probably going to die. we did... The impetus for the new characters for Celestial Crusade was... I basically told them, I was like, okay, there's 2 places that you can go. This place where Eladrin hang out and it's super magical, or basically like the slums in a city that's the size of Australia, right? So they're like, we'll go to the Eladrin town. And I was like, no, you're going to both. So I kind of like made the other characters. And then after I'd done that, actually largely through the decisions that they made and kind of where the thing was going, I was like, okay, this is what it's going to take for them to be able to destroy gods that are actually bigger than the gods that they're familiar with. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
So I figured the best way of doing that was to split the party. And I was like, well, I can't just have games where I'm just like, okay, Matthew and Steven, you're playing tonight, especially because Steven has all the recording equipment.
Right.
So Steven always has to play, right? It would be like boring for him to just like hang out and not do anything.
Or he'd love it. Who knows?
Who knows?
He'd probably love it.
That's true.
But so I was like, well, we already have these characters done. Let's just add them in. And it's really great because, again, the players didn't know it was happening. And you can hear, you know, these guys are really good about staying in character. But you can hear them, like, reaching, like, grabbing onto each other as they're being pulled apart. We're like, we're not supposed to break up the party. What's going to happen? He's going to go in a different boat.
We're all going to love you.
You know, and when the new character showed up, everybody's like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. Oh, okay, good. It was great. I think it was well received. A couple people guessed correctly. Like, there were comments on the side. It's like, I bet they're just going to use those holy guys to make them like, yeah, good job.
Yeah. Question right here.
Yeah, my question is also about Troll's backstory.
Yes.
I was wondering how the idea for the relationship between her and Camus came about, and if Steven was aware of that relationship before Aurum.
So, was Steven aware of the relationship before Aurum was? No. And here's the thing. I'm really bad about answering emails, okay? So, at one point, time ago, Rodrigo said, I need to know what the name of your parents are, and your sister, the lizard wizard that we had mentioned, you know, as a passing joke, because my real sister's name is Elizabeth, and I always called her Lizard growing up.
Oh,
so it was a passing reference to her. And I just never responded to Rodrigo, not because I didn't want to, but just because I'm really bad at times responding to emails that are not,
This was also back when Stephen had 3 jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the Hindenburg is gone.
So. What?
I sent you a
I should have told him not to turn on the gas. So at one point,
God.
At one point,
what? Too soon?
I'm so sorry.
Sorry
that I started that. I feel so bad.
So just keep in mind in Rodrigo's response that, and Adriana's response that at one time Rodrigo asked me about this information,
and he was like, no.
Go ahead.
Okay. Camus and Trell. I was like, hey, Rodrigo. Do you want me to play like a straight person? Because I don't want to like cause any trouble. I don't want you guys to like get death threats or mail bombs or I don't know, like big problems or anything. Like, it's like she can be straight. That's fine. That's fine. Like, I don't mind. That's all right. I don't want to cause any trouble. And he's like, don't worry about that. You be you. Because he's so sweet. He's like, that's for me and Steven to worry about. And so I'm like, okay. Well, I was like, this is like what her girlfriend's like. I gave her a name, and he was like, okay. And then he said, like, oh, you broke up right before this. And it's like, oh my God, my girlfriend. And so I went into the game like, you know, like she just broke your heart and ran off and you were really sad. And I was like, okay. So that's like how the game started. No, I didn't know that Orm and Camus were related. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that. Obviously, like, also Trell didn't know any of that stuff. Right, so, right. Like, yeah, that's all Rodrigo.
And then, so as a follow-up, though, rarely does Rodrigo have us stop a recording session so he can pull one of us aside to say, here's what you need to know. So the first time was when poor Smith, spoiler, we had to stop so Rob and Rodrigo could leave the room and go have a side conversation. And then the second time that I know that we've done this is when Adriana says, mentioned Camus, and Rodrigo looks at me and goes, okay, we're going to have to stop for a minute. And we go out of the room, and he's like, okay, so Camus is your sister. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then we come back and we start recording, and then, you know, we just pick back up and go, Camus is my sister. And so, but the thing is, it's all edited out, so you don't hear any of that, and so it sounds very smooth as it flows through. So right. It works out that way.
So on my end, I withhold a lot of information from these guys, and I let them make the decisions that I want them to make. I just leave breadcrumbs, and a lot of the time they don't. I'll like put a trail of breadcrumbs, and they'll just be like, meh.
That's clearly something.
And that's
trouble.
Fine, but I mean, so when we were going back and forth with Charles' backstory, Adriana was like, oh yeah, so I want the girlfriend to be an Eladrin, because I think that would like create a lot of tension. I'm like, that's great. She's like, I think she should be a fighter. And I'm like, listen.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this. Oh my God.
That's right. I was like, listen.
You jerk.
To create the maximum tension, Trill is the elfiest elf, right? She's an elf ranger. That's like an elf.
Omega elf.
To make the tension maximum, let's make her a wizard.
I was like, you're so smart.
That's right.
Man, I had no idea until this moment. Oh, you're evil.
I really am. I'm basically the devil.
You hadn't figured out the evil part yet?
So, and again, yeah, I had sent Steven an email. He didn't get back to me. So I was like, well, like the statute of limitations of that is over. I'm just going to decide this. And he was fine with it. And these guys are actually really great about rolling with things. Sometimes the things that I throw at them are really difficult to deal with. And they usually do a really good job of just like rolling through the hard stuff until it gets easier. And then like the game smooths out again. So on my end, I did make a few tweaks. But no. Adriana didn't know. Yes, evil. Adriana didn't know that Orym was her, or that that Orym was Trell's potential brother-in-law, and neither did Steven, and obviously Orym and Trell didn't know either.
Yeah. So we've got time for one more question. Let's have a question from someone who hasn't asked a question yet. Trell is over here. Let's have Trell ask a question about Orym, possibly.
No.
No. Okay.
So spoilers. Okay. So you guys come up with some. And I don't know if I'm just, like, blacking out the thought process behind it, but I have no idea where you've come up with it. Like, we're going to go to the Underdark, and then we're going to go to the Paydark, and then maybe there'll be a portal open there. And so how do you guys come up with this? Does Rodrigo, like, tell you, hey, maybe there's a portal somewhere, and or do you just, like, just brainstorm it, just the craziest possibility you can come up with?
Zach, how does that work?
Before he started talking 10 minutes ago, I would have said that we do it, but I just realized that he's been manipulating us all along.
Yes.
Brian, how does Randus figure all this magic technology stuff up?
Like the biggest one that I remember is when it came like halfway through the Celestial Crusade, when he said, "Okay, you guys need a plan." Yeah. He basically gave us the ultimatum to make a plan. make a big outrageous plan. And he kept pushing us to make it bigger, to make it something that would give us the final solution that we needed to finish.
Right. So the answer is both. Sometimes I will tell them, you guys need to figure out how. Okay, so three things. The first one, sometimes they do just figure it out on their own, right? They're like, okay, we need this, 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 and this. Let's just go get that. yes. Sometimes,
adventures.
Sometimes for whatever reason, they either don't feel confident with the information they have or anything like that. And I'm like, okay, I know that you guys don't have enough information. That's part of the point. You need to make a decision and launch yourselves into the void. Sometimes literally.
Yeah.
And then just go with that. And then sometimes, like, for example, the, you know, what you're referring to, that was Stagsy's idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stagsy kind of plotted out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, between the two of them, kind of one of them gave them a piece of it and the other one gave them the other piece of it, and they put it together. And that's actually, I mean, something that as a game master you have to do. You have to have NPCs around that give the players relevant information. You have to, like, set them up as, you know, trustworthy to at least a part of the party. And I think a lot of game masters feel like that's cheating. Like you're just supposed to just let the players go do whatever they want. But it really depends on your group. Some players want that guidance, and to deny them that guidance is actually going to make the game less fun for them
and scary.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will point out that, like, even though Stagsy and Wugan, like, kind of told us, like, oh, just, okay, do this. We were really bad at doing that in a fast and, quick and logistically sound. Still did it badly. So, yeah.
Sometimes we walk right up to the precipice and fail to leap.
Yep, that's right. We'll spend a whole episode deciding about that, Zach.
One quick question. Whoever wants to answer, that's fine. What happened to the pictures from the first couple of episodes?
Zach, you're fired.
Yeah, that's
and your all right, ladies and gentlemen, we are completely out of time. I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you. It's been fun for us. Hopefully it's been fun for you. Just real quick, you can find Rodrigo at Fearsome Critter. You can find Adriana at Miss Very Very. You can find Rob at Bore Mortal. You can find Brian at D&D Brian. Yes, you can find Matt at the Mighty King
what
Cobra.
Did you call me?
You can find Zach at Z Wolf. You can find me at Major Spoilers. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
I just want to share one final thing. These microphones clearly say Orem on them.
Yes. Every one of these microphones.
Yeah, there's also a place here in Utah called Orem. So.
Orem, Utah?
Yeah, but that's spelled.
And in Wyoming, there's a place called Camps.
I'm going to get a picture of that and put it on the internet.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.